This episode is dedicated to our friend, Isaac Pino, who passed away last night. He was our crew tattooist. Rest in power, Isaac.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Hardcast. I am your hostess with the mostest today, Bradley Stone, and I have the pleasure of being joined by Mr.
Billy Mills Curran. Howdy.
Yep, and we are hanging out on a laid-back, chill episode today. We are somewhat in a lull right now where we just had an absolute banger of a regional tournament. 104 people showed up. Just did an episode on that, obviously.
Unequivocated success.
Yeah, huge success. Grand slam. And we're kind of in the lull right now between that and LobsterCon, where things are chill for the moment, but the storm is brewing. The horizon is clearly set, and things are going to be ramping up exponentially very soon.
Very difficult to keep track of everything. Lots of moving parts. Just so much to fucking do.
So much to do, but things are coming along nicely. The Dante is paid. T-shirts are going into production. Playmats are going into production. We got pins. We got stamps, cards, and just figuring out the finishing touches on everything. And then, we're going to be set up for an absolutely killer weekend, Wednesday to Sunday. It's going to be massive. Great time.
Big banger.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yep.
So what's going on this episode, Brad?
So we're just doing kind of a more laid back one today. Just filling in the time. We got some stuff to talk about though. Just kind of what Billy and I have been up to lately in Magic. We have a little trip to talk about where Billy went to New York City. We have a segment on how to play pre-modern in the Northeast. We'll get into a little bit of listener comments. And then for those of you that are Ghibli fans, we have a little special something at the end.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But how you been doing lately, Billy?
I'm all right. I'm enjoying my brew lately. Are we on that section?
No, not yet. Okay. We're just shooting the shit. Just seeing how you're doing.
I'm doing okay. I'm renovating a room in my house. I bought a house last year, and the only reason I could afford it is because Lots was fucked about it. So there's plenty to do, and yeah.
I'm also kind of in house mode right now. I just had a whole new heating system put in this year, and so putting the finishing touches on insulation this week. I was also super sick from Sunday to Thursday, so that kind of set me back. But, the weather's been turning. Things are lovely here in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Spring is sprunging itself into our lives.
Yes, spring all over me.
Yeah, I cut down some trees in my yard. I just have all these things that I'm getting excited, setting up a garden.
Hell yeah.
Just all these house projects that I'm getting excited to do now that going outside doesn't hurt my body.
Did you plant those onions I gave you last year?
No. Maybe this year.
Yeah. I buy them in packs of 100 little baby onions. So I'll give you some. I'll give you just a straight handful when I buy the bag.
Yeah.
What do you want to plant?
I don't know yet. I got to plant it all out.
Try potatoes.
Yeah, I'm going to do the easy stuff. We're going to get some raised beds.
Yeah, do potatoes first because you literally throw them in the ground and then you're like, son of a bitch, it's growing.
Right.
Wow. And then once the tops tip over, wait a week and then just dig it up. And you're like, huh, they grew. Potatoes.
Yeah. I had potatoes last year. They were nice.
Yeah, you had my potatoes, right?
Yeah, they were super nice. Yeah. And I want to get a pot plant going on the porch and stuff because that's... Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to do that, so I just want to do it just because I can.
Yeah.
And, I'm it's been nice, and I guess I've been a little bit distracted from Magic lately, but, we're still here, we're still making content, and we still got some shit to talk about.
Yeah.
So why don't we jump on into what we've been up to lately in Magic the Gathering, and Billy, I think that we should start with you and talk about this awesome survival Terrageddon list that you've been brewing and tuning and crushing with, honestly.
Yeah, so I don't want to do a whole ass deck tech because I don't deserve to yet, but basically if you took Terrageddon, straight green white Naya Bant, sorry, Treva Rith, four color junk, and you just made a Venn diagram with all of them, what are the cards that would be in all of them? And that gets you to 50 cards. You know, like people are really only putting in like Vindicate and a couple Duresses in the board and E-Plague in the sideboard, or like Meddling Mage and Chill, or like Pyroclasm and Pyroblast and what have you. If you just take the core like 50 cards, you have enough room for a survival package. And then you're, okay, well, what are plausible swaps? Like, okay, like maybe take out a couple Mox Diamond, like put in some Birds of Paradise, help me get my creature count. Like, okay, like Call of the Herd was just kind of material. Like the Call of the Herd slots are like my toolbox slots. Like what are bangers that are real only ever, you'll only ever really want to draw one of? Like Exalted Angel. Like no Terrageddon deck wants a hand with three Exalted Angels. You want like one per game.
Yep.
So like that goes in. Like, okay, Naturalized Disenchant slot, like Monkery List and Uktabi Orangutan. So the result of this deck is it has some like absolutely fucked starts. Your hands that are like turn one Accelerant, turn two like Interaction or Wayfarer plus Library or Survival. It's very high. The deck mulligans beautifully because I'm playing four Survival, three Library. It's a lot of fun. It's incredibly hard because I've just been on like Wasteland Mox Survival for my entire time that I've been in PM. So learning how to sequence with Survival is super difficult. Like knowing when, how to like not expose my Squee to a sorcery speed like Crypt or Furnace or whatever, that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like when to, if I have only one creature in hand, like when do I just like go for a monster, or when do I attempt to get the Squee chain going? It's fun as fuck. It's really difficult. I am too dumb to play it. And there's like I wasn't playing a Gaia's Cradle when I first put this together. But that card is insane. I now feel the power.
Yeah.
We
did a sick trade the other day.
We did.
Where you got your first Gaia's Cradle.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did we trade?
Four Gold Border Survival and a Cradle on my end for a Volcanic Island Intuition and Phyrexian Dreadnought.
Yeah. Which is like, that's the biggest trade I've made in a while.
Yeah. And congratulations. Well,
thank you. Yeah. That might be my biggest trade. My last like big trade was a moat straight across for a Drop of Honey. And this was in like 2014.
Yeah.
When like Drop of Honey was like the tech against True Name in lands.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah. And I've never resolved the Drop of Honey in Legacy.
Just been sitting in the binder.
And it was
losing value.
Losing value. So it was like $800 and now it's like $215 because it's MP.
Yeah.
Or maybe even HP. Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was cool. Probably my first time trading in 10, 15 years or whatever as well. But
of that was like sick. Real value like that. Yeah. 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 That was a cool trade. So thank you for facilitating that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 And yeah, the deck seems really cool. Playing against it, it is an absolute nightmare to fight against because there's just so many accesses that you're grinding on.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and like you want to bring in all these like naturalizes, but then sometimes you're sitting there with naturalizes just looking at Wayfarers and Terravores.
Yep.
And maybe you don't hit your naturalizes and then Survival just goes off.
Yep.
And the openings are extremely aggressive and fast. Mm-hmm. So you just feel like you're on your back foot against the deck so often.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. I personally don't have the brain space to think about it too much. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, I'm still kind of focusing, you know, Terrageddon's always on the back of my mind. I've been playing some Tribe, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But there, like that deck is just so in depth and there's so many delicate elements to it.
Yes.
That
can
be fine tuned. And like thinking about that is just too much brain power for me lately, more than I've had.
It is fun. And what's really cool is that like the meme about survival decks is like, oh, well, what if they don't draw survival? Your deck sucks. Well, if I don't draw survival, I'm playing the best cards in Terrageddon. So like, fuck you, Terravore Armageddon, go away.
Right.
So it's pretty satisfying. And like, if I stick a survival, and you disenchant it, and I like can't get the chain going, like, okay, I'll just discard this Birds of Paradise and go get an Exalted Angel. Like, deal with that, nerd.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is really fun. There's some like very cool lines that aren't available in many of the other survival decks. Like, I can go get a Cradle with Wayfarer. And then the secret all-star in the deck is Sylvan Safekeeper.
Yeah, such a banger.
It's like, it is, honestly, to me, I don't really like it in conventional Terrigen. Like, maybe as a one of, especially if you're playing, if you're not playing four color. I'm like kind of on the fence about it, but the ability to search for it is incredible. So I'm doing all these like wild lines where I'm like, I have like my Singleton Werebear and a Terrivore out, and then I just go get Safekeeper or sack all my lands and kill you.
Yeah.
And I have this like built-in game plan of just like, I would say like probably 15% of my games I win by Safekeeper, Exalted Angel. And it's like they have to throw everything at it, and then like they're not getting to like two white white for Wrath, because I'm, if you like, if I see that you're going for it, then I just go get Wayfarer and start pecking at your lands. And then if you do Wrath, I like pitch all this crap away in my hand and just, you know, go get two Terrivores, and then just like I can reload. It's sick. The deck's incredibly fun.
Yeah.
There's tons of Brewing Space. Meet me in the All Terrivores Considered Discord channel. You can find it in Archetype, in the Archetype servers, whatever, from the main PM Discord. There's still a ton of room left to discover. Like, this is very early. Only 8 people in the world have played this deck. Yeah, come figure out if like we're all idiots and shouldn't be playing Mox Diamond, or we're all idiots and we should all be playing poor Mox Diamond. I have no idea.
Yeah, so the number seems good right now at 2.
I like 2.
Have you found some like cool new tech, or like have you guys discovered anything through your discussions yet on Discord?
It's interesting because the Discord is a Terrivore Discord. Like the All Terrivores Considered is for Oathpanza and for Wayfarer. And then there's like a little extra space for people who are doing like Sphere, Angel, Mono White stuff. But the general stuff is there. So we're all kind of, my perception is that we are like very high Wasteland Mox library experience and very low Survival Genesis Cradle experience. So a lot of this is like watching people discover fire while you have like a lighter in your pocket. You're like, yeah, no shit, Genesis is fucked. It's really good.
Yeah.
Like, you're afraid of getting disenchanted? Just like put 3 Terrivores in a Genesis in the graveyard and then just like keep hitting them with it. So just like things like that. Or like, it's interesting, you know. There still is a fundamental weakness to fast go wide.
Which has kind of always been an issue with Terrivore decks in general.
Yeah, yeah. And it is less intense because we have Wallaroots. But we're still trying to figure out, like, are we a Simoon deck? Do we play Earthquake? Because, like, it doesn't kill birds and wall. Are we splashing black for E-Plague? So, yeah, I've been doing well with it. I top 8ed in ELD monthly with it.
Top 4'd the regional.
And I top 4'd the regional, which was probably my best. That's interesting. Yeah. That's probably my best tournament performance to date. Is top 4'ing a regional. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely got a little bit of Brewer's Advantage going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. People just sit across from me and they're like, what the fuck is happening?
What the
right
fuck?
Now?
Exactly. And sometimes they don't see the other half. Like, and it's neat. If you make like a grid of like have the threat, have the answer, and then like my deck is like Terrivore on one of my axes, or Terrivore on one cell, and then Survival Plan on the other cell, it's like the plans are different enough that you don't quite know what to do. One of the things that sucks is like every sideboard card hits me.
Yeah,
like Furnace, Disenchant, Sweepers, Curse Totem, Sabo's Web. Like, it all hits me.
Right.
It all hits me. But, like, what are you going to do? Like, board in, like two Crypts, two Naturalize, and a Curse Totem? Like, that's too wide. Like, if I answer any one of those, whatever plan I'm on, I can pivot from plan to plan. And it's that thing about, like, there's no wrong threats, only wrong answers type situation. So I am favored by my diversity. It's interesting.
Yeah. Do you feel like the deck is doing anything better than traditional Terrageddon and then anything worse?
It's about a turn less aggressive. One of the major strengths of Red Green Oath was that you started out with these like really, really powerful high impact cards in the front end with like Stone Rain on one axis and then Oath of Druids on the other. And you would board out the shit axis and then you just like fill in Call of the Herd. So I'm trying to figure out, like, is it ever appropriate to board out Survival of the Fittest? Which is a really exciting thought because I can juke and I can, like, I won a game this weekend by boarding out Libraries and Survivals. And, like, I drew enough threats that, and then when my opponent, you know, was lamenting their defeat, they showed me a hand with, like, Naturalized Disenchant Ray.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. The opportunity cost of having the wrong answer in your hand is so high. Like, if you are prepared to beat the survival attack and I have the Terrageddon side and that's the plan I'm going for, you are now facing down Terrageddon with an auto mulligan, which is like, I'm so favored in that.
Right.
And it's not the best Terrageddon deck and it's not the best survival deck, but the variation, and you don't know which one I'm going for, the variation is severe enough that it results in W's for Billy Boy.
Yeah.
So I'm having a blast playing it. There's still so much room. There's so much room. Like, I don't know if we're a 4 FTK deck. I don't know if we board into Call of the Herd and, like, board out our survivals. I don't know if we're, like, a 4 Angel deck. I have no idea.
Yep.
Like, there's people experimenting with breakfast combo in the deck right now.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly, right? So you can be like Terravore, and in the same way that I was like getting Safekeeper and sacking all my lands to attack, like other people are just milling everything and then attacking. Like you just mill until you have enough lands, and then they're like, oh, there's a Genesis in there. It doesn't matter if you kill my survival. Like every Terravore is huge now.
That's like, so cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Yeah. It reminds me of putting like that type of combo into the black green survival deck.
Yeah, exactly.
Where like your opponent's ready to just like fight this super mid-rangey grindy game plan and then all of a sudden they just get comboed and they're dead.
Exactly. Yeah, I tried Karmic Guide, Akroma, never came up.
I wish it was better.
I wish it was better too.
So bad. Give me Loyal Retainers.
Exactly.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
My kingdom for Loyal Retainers in pre-modern.
Yeah. Like maybe it's an anger deck. I have no idea. Like, Angry Terrorboard sounds cool.
Yeah.
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 Like, go get my mountain with Weathered Wayfarer. And now, like, FTK is really easy to cast.
So no sick.
Clue. No clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you. I think you were in a bit of a soul-searching phase there for a while, and I think that you found your soul now, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was an Oath Ponza guy, and then I was a four-color Terrageddon guy, and now I'm a Survival Terrageddon guy.
Yeah.
I'm having a blast. Come join me in the archetype server.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. How about you, Brad?
So I have been playing a fair amount of Tribe. I haven't been playing as much Magic in general lately, but I have been playing Tribe when I do come and hang out and get some games in.
Does this have About Face in it?
It does.
It does?
Yes.
You've been sniping people with it?
I've got one kill in like 25 games with About Face. Like I've done it one single time.
Is your About Face foil?
Yes.
Okay. You should have people sign it when you snipe them with it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've tried a couple of variations at this point. I'm probably not playing it super well because it does seem like a difficult deck to pilot. There's
It does seem hard.
Yeah, there's a lot going on all the time, and there's a lot of decisions to be made, and you're like, there's just so many different things to do, and there's so many different ways to build the deck.
Yeah.
So I started out initially on one of Travis Schneider's lists that he had top aided a webcam monthly with. That was like a blue white based one. And I then switched it up and tried out the list that top aided at Misty Mountains, or actually won the whole thing, which was more of a green white based mm-hmm. with Arrogant Worms and Mongrels. Mm-hmm. Well, Mongrels always in the deck, but Arrogant Worms. I've been trying Silly Tech like Seize the Day, which yeah. has actually been pretty cool and fun. Yeah, yeah. I've got some wins with that.
That's the second. You get a third main phase and second attack, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it has flashback too.
Yep.
So
that seems cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's just all these different things that you have the ability to do when you're playing Quiet Speculation. And then I'm also like, should I be playing Quiet Speculation? Should I be playing Intuition instead? Is that better? Because you're often yeah. wanting to like hold up Circular Logic.
Yep.
And either do Circular Logic and then like keep the pressure on, or if they don't really do anything, then you can just Arrogant Worm on their end step.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
put more pressure onto the board and more pressure on them.
Yeah.
The
fact that you get to play like reactively between Circular Logic and Tempting Worm is pretty sick, but
Arrogant Worm, yeah.
Arrogant Worm. But Quiet Spec plus Circular Logic requires blue blue. Whereas Intuition plus Arrogant Worm requires blue yep. or green, which is much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you just have like so many options because you can just, you're playing basically a five color deck. So you just like have all these different options of how you can build your sideboard and just all these options of like numbers on cards to tutor up with Quiet Speculation.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you want two Roar of the Worms? Do you want one? Do you want two Deep Analysis or one? Yeah. Like, do you actually want to play Seize the Day?
Yep. Seize the Day sounds like super fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've got some wins with it so far. Yeah. Honestly, I've got more wins with that than I have with anything else.
It seems very good with like Mongrel and Tribe, because you can like that +1/+1 is now for two attack steps
right.
instead of just one.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'm attacking with this 4/4.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like you're sitting there with, you know, a dog, a wild mongrel and something else on the board, and your opponent's relatively low, and you have Circular Logic in your hand, but then they like tap out and do something that you don't really care about. And yeah. now it's like, all right, I just get to like dump everything into this mongrel
yep.
and then flash it back and you're dead.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah. End of turn, Arrogant Worm, untap, Seize the Day.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's all been super fun. I don't like think that I'm playing it the best though, and I did want to do a deck tech on it eventually. I just because of how busy I've been, it's been hard to schedule somebody to come on. But there is a little special somebody out there that I've discussed it with a couple times, having him come on the episode and, you know, giving me a one-on-one personal coaching session while also imparting some wisdom onto the greater community.
Ooh.
Yeah. Little Easter egg there for things to come.
I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little special secret.
Okay.
But the deck is super fun. It's really cool. I'm having a good time playing it. It is hard, though, to play anything besides Terrageddon at this point because I just miss my Mox Diamonds and Wastelands and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just having, like, Bulletproof Man all the time and being able to jump ahead through Mox Diamonds, you mm-hmm. know, and get those really
yep.
quick starts. Like,
yep.
I feel like I'm playing like such fair Magic now.
Yeah.
But it's cool, and there's a ton to explore with it, and I think I'm going to stick with it for a little while longer.
Cool.
I'm into it. Yeah.
Do you know you're going to play a Lobstagon?
Yes. I'm going to play Terrageddon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Four color?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Cataclysm?
Maybe one. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have some, like, I also haven't played Terrageddon basically since we did that whole episode and went down to Rochester. So
do you listen to our podcast?
Not usually.
Okay. You were on low sodium tournament prep though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's time to pick up Terrageddon.
That's
true. Make
sure
you get your reps in.
Yeah. I should probably listen to that episode again.
Yeah.
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 Cool. But, yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much covers it for me. Like, I don't have too much to say on it just because it's like the deck has so many options and I haven't had a ton of time to like stick my head to the grind wheel and figure everything out.
Yeah.
I've just been kind of like messing around and having a good time.
Yeah.
But those tuning those last, you know, 10 slots or whatever is like a pretty big ordeal that yeah. I'm just going to have somebody come on and explain everything to me.
Too many options.
A lot of options.
You're John Stockton.
Yeah. Magma Spray has been really cool.
Yeah, that card does.
Yeah. Cool. One colorless, one red, deals one damage to each creature without flying and each player, and then has flashback for a colorless and a red. I think it's called Magma Spray.
Yeah, or maybe Volcanic Spray.
Yeah, Volcanic Spray. Thank you.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, word. Yeah, been good. Fun. I've been enjoying it. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got on that.
Hell yeah.
Shall we move along?
Yeah, let's take a little break.
All right.
Hey, listeners. Sorry to interrupt your podcast time. We still have rooms available in the Boston Marriott Cambridge. If you're still looking for lodging for LobsterCon, remember to book through our exclusive rate link on the LobsterCon information page. We're going to have a link in the show notes, but it's just a couple minutes walk from the Dante. We got a special cheap rate, and there's still rooms available. So if you're looking for a place to stay, make sure to book through there. Thanks.
Are back and moving on to Billy's big adventure, a reconnaissance mission into enemy territory, Billy's trip to New York City.
Yeah, so this past week I went to the NYC meetup. It was very fun. A fun little diplomatic experience / recon mission. Yeah, man. So that's why I did this. I got to play on Tuesday? Wednesday? Wednesday. Yep. Tuesday. I don't know.
One of the days.
So yeah, I was in Long Island for work this past week. I have to do I would say I'm maybe 10% on the road. But yeah, I was in like the dead middle of Long Island this past week. And I'm like, I'm gonna big brain this. I'm gonna bring my PM deck. And I asked around and there was a New York City meetup I was hoping it was a Brooklyn meetup, but it was a Manhattan meetup. So I went down there to go play. So here I am in the middle of Long Island on a school night, and I drove an hour and a half to meet Lanny at the train station, who was incredibly generous and offered to make sure I got there without too much pain. So I met up with him in Queens at the train station, and he very generously guided me on the train. We had a nice chat, talked about PM and complaining about bands, and about like, we didn't complain about bands. We talked about complaining about bands or unbands.
Yep.
We talked about Necro in the format.
How long was your train ride together?
Half an hour, not even.
Okay.
Yeah. We went to Manhattan, and we went to where the meetup was. And it was in rented office space, and it was very nice. It was clean. It was cool. And there were about, like, 25 people there.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah, it's about... It's like bigger than our house games, bigger than our weeklies, but smaller than our monthlies.
Yeah.
So for like a weeknight meetup, like pretty sick.
Yeah.
And it was, they were incredibly courteous to me. It had similar energy to our weeklies, where like most people know each other, at least by face, and like there's courtesy, and then there's like people whose relationships are closer than others.
Some rivalries, maybe?
In good humor.
Right.
You know, like good, like perfectly civilized. No, like, I don't know, hostility or anything like that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it was like PM energy, you know, like good grace. Like, it was interesting. There were people there who took PM more seriously or less seriously, or took magic more seriously or less seriously.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of people there who were like vastly better at magic than I am. But it was really fun. And there were 25 people there, but they capped it at 4 rounds. And it was very fun. Let me think. Round one. So I was on Survival Terrigen. I was playing with the idea that I didn't need to run sweepers, that I could get rid of survival and bring in Call of the Herd in my deck. And if I'm on 2 mocks, 4 birds, 4 Wallaroots, and a Werebear, that I would be able to like ram elephants out really quickly, and then like put them on the back foot. Like while they're dicking around, survivaling or whatever, or like goblins-ing, I could just like go 3-3, 3-3, 3-3, and then eventually get to like Terrorbore, Angel, Armageddon. That is not a good plan against Go-Wide.
Yeah.
But yeah. So round one, I played against Black Green Survival. They volunteered that they had only been playing Magic for about a year. And I defeated them 2-1. I think this is just a case of like me being obsessed with this game and them being like newer to the game.
Right.
I don't think their deck was bad. I don't think that they're a bad player. They're actually a very good player, but just like they just are newer to the game.
And having a game plan going in against something like that is so important too, you know. Where like you're dialed, you know what their deck is doing, you know what you are trying to do against their deck, and they're kind of unsure how to combat you.
Yeah. Totally courteous player, gracious in defeat. Good game. Yeah. Round two, I played against a person on Blue White Flippy, who that was definitely a case of I was victorious, I think 2-1 or 2-0. There was a case where I got to like I FTK'd an angel, and then I swords to another angel, and then they factor fictioned and they made a pile which showed 2 angels. And I split it, so it was like 2 angels versus like it was like Stancil Mana Leak Land or something. And it's like, okay, like there is nothing in your deck that scares me anymore. I also kind of saw that like if you're playing survival, because you're taking so many game actions, like how good you are with survival, like you need to be like a very courteous player and like you need to know what's going on. So I would recommend if you are new to survival, work out those kinks while goldfishing. Like you take so many game actions, you can't be like, you can't hum and haw, and you can't be like, oh, should I get Squee and then Wall of Roots, or should I just go straight for Terrorbore? Like it's not polite to be bad at survival.
Right.
And I think that I expended my like, because I'm still like figuring this deck out, I need to be like very nice and like very polite and very fast if people are going to have like a fun time playing against me. And then so here I am, Billy Mills Curran of Duress Crew, showing up in the New York City meetup. Okay, I'm like, all right, my goal is 2-2, but then, you know, hey, I won round one. One round two, like, wouldn't it be funny if I showed up and 4-0'd the thing? And I'm like playing with this idea in my head. I'm like, wouldn't that be cool? You know, I'd run my mouth on Discord.
Right.
Like, Worcester reigns supreme. It would be so great. Wouldn't I be cool?
You'd be Mr. Cool Ice.
I'd be Mr. Cool Ice. And I got fucked on in round three, just absolutely wrecked by elves.
Yeah.
And it turns
out... That makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah, it turns out that the plan of, oh, I'm going to put them on the back foot by attacking with elephants is nowhere near fast enough. Like Dreadnought, turn toing a knot is like really the only thing that's fast enough to do that.
Yeah.
Like when they turn for it, it's too slow. And for me to do that, it's like, if I'm going to do this elephant bullshit, I need to like turn one swords, turn two elephant, turn three elephant, turn four like swords again. Like I have to hit every land drop. I have to have like one or two removal spells. I need to like, it's just not a real thing. I need to disenchant their survival. Like, yeah, I've had games play out where I went aggro elephant. But that's an exception and not a rule. And that was a bad plan. And I got 0-2'd by a very skilled elves player. And I got fucked on. And it was my own arrogance and my own hubris that put me in this situation. I should have never even considered that I could do well. yeah. And then round four, I played against like Ankh Tide. It was like a Stone Rain Parallax Tide brew.
Blue red.
It was blue red. There was a point in the game where I had zero lands and like a survival out or something like that, because they had just stone rained me out because I'm just like a 20. I think I was on 21 lands at the time. And they had two Ankhs and I was at four. I'm like, oh shit, what am I gonna do? And then boom, rip the Mox Diamond, play a Birds of Paradise.
Hallelujah.
Untap, play a Wall of Roots, start survivaling, eventually like put an angel down face down, flip it, gain life, play lands. So I got out of the pinch.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
Awesome.
It was a cool game. So yeah, I ended up going 3-1. I am immensely pleased that I did not disgrace myself in a foreign land. But you know, like if I went 0-4, that also would have been funny.
Yeah.
Like I'm down to look silly for a joke, you know.
Yeah.
Like I consider myself I aspire to be highly memeable, and that sometimes means losing games. And this would be humorous, you know, and like people could be like, "Oh, Worcester showed up in New York and got like kicked out." Like,
yeah,
that would be funny. But 3-1 is a pleasing outcome.
Yeah, for fourth place.
For fourth place, but it wasn't a full Swiss,
right?
So I could have, you know, gone in, played against another 3-1, and been like get down to like 11th place where you belong. You know,
hey,
it could have gone anyway.
We take those fourth places when they come, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a great time. They were courteous. They were very generous hosts. They had like booze there. Like that's like kind of their thing with their meetups. Is I don't know if that's
just
a
like
thing.
A little open bar thing.
No, it was like they had like a couple of scotches and a fridge full of beer, and it was like, yeah, help yourself, man. And I don't know if that was like privilege extended to me as like a conspicuous guest, or if that's like a BYOB and I just like people were like, oh, it's Billy, like, yeah, I got some, go ahead and help yourself. I don't know how it was, but it was cool.
Yeah,
like, so it was neat to be able to drink there.
Yeah, and you took a picture of the meetup and posted it on Discord. Yeah. And then everybody in our Discord was like putting names to faces. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. Yeah. And it was fun living vicariously through you and seeing all that stuff. Obviously,
yeah.
It's hard for us to get down to New York City.
Yeah.
Like that's a bit of a haul for all of us.
Yeah. And it's,
New York City's very expensive. So it's like not an easy place to just go for something, you know, like casual.
And it's like, when are you in the city on a weeknight? You
know,
like have you been in New York City on a weeknight in the last 10 years? Like maybe once.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, thank you, Lanny, for babysitting me on the train. Met a whole bunch of people, and it was really fun. And it was like just courteous bunch of lads.
Yeah.
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 Some sweaties, some chill people, good energy. Yeah, good people down there.
That New England versus New York rivalry is something that I wish played out more. Like we don't get to challenge them or be on the same turf ever, really.
Yeah.
So Yeah. It's sick that you were down there, and it's sick that it happened a little bit, but it's definitely something that I wish got to play out more. Maybe we'll do something at LobsterCon. Lanny was kind of talking about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, like, in Duress Crew, like, how many pro points do we have? Like, 2 across the whole crew.
It's like Shane.
Has Shane been on the Pro Tour once?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Dan Hall has been on the Pro Tour
once,
maybe twice. And then, like, Jay is won a couple RCQs. And then I think that's kind of it. Like, right. I top 8 at a PTQ once in, like, 2009.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of bragging rights.
Yeah, whereas, like, in New York City, it was, like, a quarter of the room had pro points.
Yeah.
And, like, some people, like, are, like, professionally in Magic content creation spaces. Like, it was just wild. It was like, oh, wait, like, a lot of you people are, like, Magic famous.
Yeah.
You know.
We'll definitely be seeing some of those killers up there at LobsterCon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But, yeah, thanks, New York. You guys were very, very gracious hosts to me, and I had a great time, and I hope to see you again.
So, hell yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right. So the next thing on the docket, then, is you wanted to do a little segment about playing pre-modern in the Northeast, a little guide.
So in the spirit of crew-on-crew diplomacy, here's a little primer. Just like this is going to be short and sweet on how to play PM in New England. So this is just from the top. So if you're in Maine, you can play a monthly at Phyrexian Life Games in Scarborough. Real easy. Once a month, they play PM. We went to it once. It was a clean store. Remember that?
I was not there for it.
Oh, I think we've gone twice. The first time we went was in, like, the summer of 22 when we were all, like, getting into PM seriously. And it was, like, 28 people, and they cut to top 16, and none of us made it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was, like, we're rolling up, like, I don't know, like, Night at the Roxbury. Like, yeah, we're gonna fuck these, like, Northern barbarians up, and they just, like, absolutely, like, clapped us and said, like, go back south, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are all bad at Magic. And it was kind of funny because we sent 2 cars. It was like 7 people or something like that. And we're like, oh man, like, I hope not just like one person. Like, what are we gonna do if one of us makes top 8 and then, like, you have to sit there for 4 hours? Like, oh, top 16, like, shit, it's gonna take forever to play this all out. Like, damn, 5 more rounds? Fuck.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of us got fucked. Like, it's just like, oh god, this is embarrassing.
A humbling moment.
Exactly. Like, we all just, like, yeah, drive back to Worcester, like, all very quiet and just like,
gotta bring more firepower next time.
Exactly. Yeah. That was embarrassing. But we went I think I've gone twice.
Yeah.
And it's, like, clean, well lit store. I think there were cash games both times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
I've been once by myself. I was on vacation with Lori.
Oh, okay.
And I was able to just make a little Sunday thing out of it. And she went, like, shopping at consignment stores or whatever while I played Magic.
Yeah.
And it was great. Awesome people, obviously. You know, people that we know that come down to our tournaments. Whenever we have the opportunity to extend the favor back, we definitely try and take it. You know, we're all old now and people have children and shit, so time's limited. But whenever the opportunity arises, it's great to extend the olive branch and go out and hang out and show support for other scenes out there.
Yeah.
So that's a monthly, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What else we got?
A trip further down 95 to Newington, New Hampshire at the Fox Run Mall. You can play at Full Moon Gaming. The store owner there is this old punk, Tony, who fucking rocks. He's so cool. That's a good game.
How far is that from Worcester?
Hour and a half.
Okay.
So every once in a while, it's like when I'm, like, otherwise totally unoccupied, or if I, like, didn't get to play Magic on Saturday or what have you, I'll go up there. It's hour and a half is a little rough.
Yeah.
That's definitely like a 2 black and mild trip, not 1 black and mild trip. But, you know, throw on a podcast, listen to it. It's like very quick going on a Sunday morning. It starts at 11. So it's like you just blast through, whatever. Yeah. Mind your speed at the border.
Yep.
Because those New Hampshire cops love pulling over Massachusetts plates.
Yep.
And they ain't got shit to do on a Sunday morning.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a great store. You get store credit, and it's a lot like That's Entertainment in Worcester, where it's just like a pop culture space. So you could go in there, spend, I think it's 10 or 15 bucks, play 4 rounds of PM, walk out with 15 store credit, and then you're like, all right, like, what do I want to get? And you can walk out with, like, Godzilla figurines, or, like, a Jimi Hendrix poster, or,
do like... Do they have, like, vinyls?
Some.
Yeah.
Maybe
a video game.
Yeah, like an SNES video game, or, like an Alf beach towel or something,
yeah, yeah.
Or like collectible Coke bottles or Pogs or like Garbage Pail Kid cards, or just like, oh, like I can spend this money on a birthday present for my like cool younger cousin, or I can get some magic cards. He has some like heaters in the case, so he has like a couple like foil onslaught fetches.
Ooh.
Yeah, he has a set of
hot diggity.
Yeah, a set of FBB swords that I like thought about buying, because yeah, you can get those once and you just hold on to them forever.
Yeah.
Few things like that, some old packs. That's a cool store. I like that quite a bit.
Very nice.
Yeah. So moving further south, so now we go on 495. On the intersection with 95, and we end up in we have two stores, which are Duress Crew stores. We got our weekly at Whitensville, Massachusetts. That's where we also hold our quarterly, regional, seasonal, blah blah blahs. That's a Saturday game. It starts at noon. That's one that we mostly all show up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much every Saturday that I have the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great times, great community.
Yeah.
Like, low buy-in, chill vibes.
Chill vibes.
I'm always playing silly things, just hanging out.
There's a lovely bakery next door.
Yeah.
I fuck with that almond croissant.
It's insane.
It's so good. And I spoke to her, and she is going to get a coffee machine up and running.
Yeah.
So we're going to be in and out of there all day long.
I'm saying. Every Saturday. Nice little Americano.
That's a really good store. The store has... we have an excellent relationship with that store.
Yes.
Yeah. They listen to us for input. And they've given us like a very long leash. So, and we try to respect that leash, and it's probably the best relationship I've ever had with the store. Honestly,
yeah.
I like them quite a bit. So now we go to further down 495 to Bellingham, Massachusetts at Yieldy's Time Vault Games. That's where you can play a monthly. He's also starting, he has PM on Tuesday nights and PM FNMs.
Yep.
Yes. Which is sick. That's just starting up. I've been, guaranteed 3 rounds, so he will either choose to play or not, so you always get 3 rounds, which is really cool. He orders pizzas, so you can like, you can just straight up get out of work, drive there, have pizza for dinner on Friday night, and then play PM, get some store credit, which is pretty sick.
Yeah.
That's also, he hosts, ELD hosts the Massachusetts Monthlies.
The very prestigious event.
It is a prestigious event. There's some very good players that show up.
Yep.
Getting above 40 people now pretty consistently.
Which is amazing to see. Huge growth there.
Yep.
About a year ago, I was getting pretty nervous when it was like 12 people showed up to a monthly in like February or something.
Yeah.
And it was like, what's going, is this dying right now? And then it has shot up dramatically.
Yeah.
And
now
we're like selling out the place.
Yeah. Now it's never less than 30 people. And like it, most of the time it's above 35, which is pretty sick.
And lots of new faces coming through still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He pays out 100% store credit and has a phenomenal collection.
Insane.
Yes. So if you play in like first place for like a year in a row, you can walk out with a Mox Emerald.
Yeah.
You can get, Pro Tour memorabilia. You can get the Magic Poker deck. You can get Invasion tournament packs. He has stacks of dual land, like revised dual lands, like inches thick.
Yep.
You can get all sorts of weird, like the the Urza Saga foil promotional basics.
Yep.
He has those without the set symbol because it was a test print run.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Like just like weird shit like that.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that like,
it's a time vault, man, truly.
It really is a time vault.
Yeah.
He has normal board games or whatever, so you can spend your store credit to get, like, a board game for your brother or whatever. But, yeah, it's a great store. I enjoy hanging out there. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. It's a once a month thing for me because it's a little bit of a haul out of Worcester, but
yeah,
that once a month is wonderful every time it happens. Just,
I tend to emphasize, or I tend to prioritize going to that one.
Yeah,
that's one I definitely like stick on my phone calendar because I enjoy having a bit more serious, you know. And then if you do well, you can walk out with, you know, 150 store credit.
Yeah.
If you split, and then like. But the thing is, I don't split.
Kill them all.
Kill them all. No splits, duress crew, kill them all.
Yeah.
So if I'm there, don't expect to split. Expect there to be all night, or at least until I beat you. Now moving on down to, there isn't a Hartford game. There isn't a New London game. There isn't a New Haven game. But there is a Norwalk game, which the Tularean PTA, which is the Southern Connecticut crew.
Yep. Shout out Iron Lungs, Matt Perlman.
Yep. Yep.
Somebody else's name who I'm forgetting who introduced himself at our regional, and all of them are great, though.
Yeah. Great people, skilled players. So they have a, I don't know if it's monthly.
I think it's monthly.
Yeah. But they got a Southern Connecticut game starting up. So those of you who live in that, what is that called? The Panhandle? Yeah. The Connecticut Panhandle. Yeah.
New England Panhandle.
Exactly. That little toe sticking out of Connecticut in the southwestern corner. If you live in that area, you can go play games with them. I don't know much about it. I just know that they started up a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I would like to encourage attendance. So if you live in New York and need to get out of the city, if you live in Hartford or New London, consider making the trek. Maybe Poughkeepsie can get out there.
I don't know. So it's cool because it's kind of a central meeting ground between Worcester and New York City.
I think it's probably about as hard for both of us. I think it, like, if you live in this city, it probably takes you about 2.5 hours to get to Norwalk.
Right. But it's kind of cool that it's, like, the central location, and they've talked about having a bigger tournament there in the future.
Yep.
And that would be a really awesome, middle point for all of us to meet up there.
Yeah, we're recording today on the 23rd. I think this is one of them, so
yep, they actually had one today as we are speaking right now. There are mages battling it out on the fields of Dominaria.
Word.
Yep.
Hell yeah. So Chris DiBiase, Iron Lungs, seems to be promoting it, so he's a long steward of the community, so I'm certain he puts on an excellent event.
Definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the present status. Is there anything else that we're missing? Is there anything out in Western Mass or
not really that I'm aware of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Notably, Pandemonium in Cambridge, in Central Square in Cambridge, is hosting a PM event on the Thursday night of LobsterCon.
Yeah, we mentioned that on the last episode.
Yep. So if you go there and say, like, even if you don't live in New England or Boston, just have a little fib there and ask about PM, because Boston doesn't have a recurring PM game at like a public neutral space. So go bother Pandemonium. They have like an active popper scene, which is pretty sick. Like, I used to play Legacy there, and they had like a 40 person popper FNM.
Damn.
Which is like pretty sick. Because it's like, well, it's all like college professors and stuff who like don't really want to spend money on Magic because they have like the good sense not to, but like, you know, enjoy it. And it's like, oh, I want to play Magic. Like, in a couple of weeks, I'll just spend like $28 on this deck, like whatever. So there, the popper scene is excellent there. I don't know if it still is, but there's no reason why PM can't be good there.
Let's get it going.
Yeah, hell yeah. Let me think. There's Pandemonium. If you play at Webway in Marlboro, there's some rumblings about getting PM quarterly started up there.
One's like Phil Lorraine is spearheading that effort with somebody else.
Yeah. There's some rumblings about that. If you hang out in Marlboro, or if you're from like Middlesex County, Massachusetts, if you're ever around Webway, like, ask about that, because the more people that ask, the more people will be interested in it, and it's more likely to happen.
Yeah.
And like with the growth of PM, it makes sense that like, there's a Worcester scene and there's the Boston scene. Like, there, it would make sense that there's a Middlesex County scene, like,
right
betwixt the twain. So, yeah, hope that kicks off. go bother them. Keep asking.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
So basically, there's a plethora of places to play in New England. Pre-modern absolutely popping off here. Yeah. It's really amazing to see. It's so cool.
We need a Western Mass store.
Yeah.
We really do.
Get Bryce on it.
He lives in Albany.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A little too far.
Yeah. So maybe Dockside Jeff.
Yeah.
That guy's so fucking cool.
Yeah. Like a Northampton scene or something.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Springfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, if you're in Massachusetts or Maine or Connecticut or Rhode Island, you now know. You're in the know. Come hang
out. There isn't a Providence game.
Not for pre-modern.
But there should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a vegan deli down there that I've been wanting to check out, and they do magic once a month on Thursday.
Really?
So, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I've been wanting to go check that out. Mm. Shall we move on to listener comments?
Yeah. I got it pulled up. All right. So our next section here
are these via Spotify?
These are via Spotify. Ready? All right. Cool. Let's see here. So this is, I'm going to start at oldest to newest. Speaking to episode 10, which is Terrigan, Axel 19,000 asks, is the sideboard guide posted somewhere? Planning on playing this deck at a future event?
No sideboard guide, unfortunately.
No sideboard guide.
I only have so much time.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time with podcasting, and we spend a good amount of time playing.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time prepping for events and stuff. So at the end of the day, the candle's been burning at both ends.
Yeah.
And it's getting pretty low these days.
I think that the spirit of that episode was from like a journalistic standpoint, not from an ownership standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are Terrigan sweaties. We are not Terrigan daddies. Although some people ask us. Some people are like, oh, what should we do? Every once in a while I get a DM being like, what do you think about this? And I'm like, this is what I think. But
yeah.
Like, I'm good with the deck. I'm not great. Like, there are better people, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe nobody's better than you.
That's a tall order to fill.
Tall order to fill?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, in regards to episode 11, shooting the shit, let's see here. Andrew O'Neill says, I, for one, wanted to hear more about the Terror War Survival Brew. To be continued, I hope. Well, Andrew, I hope you just listened to the last, 25 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about it. The deck does not yet deserve a deck tech, but you can hop into the Archetype server for all Terror Wars considered, and you can read all about it. Hop in. Maybe you've got some cool scientific technology that you can contribute.
Yeah, join the chat.
Yep. And then also, we heard back from Nance. I am Nance, and I am a proud sister of Phil. You may have played Dave in Rochester, the third Stoltz sibling. That's great to hear from you, Nance. I am glad to hear that you support your brother so much. Always glad to see a comment from you.
Yeah. I love the family checking in.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what a great situation.
Yeah.
Lovely. Always glad to hear from you, Nance. All right. Episode 12, Low Sodium Tournament Prep with Jay. Colton. Good old Colton.
Good old Colton.
Local
great
homie.
Dude.
Yep.
Mr. Abrams. The Abram brothers are wonderful people.
Yes. Eternal Weekend PM champion.
Colton. Yes.
Yeah. Who dominated my elephant, Colton. Who made me a small painting as a gift, Colton. Very nice gentleman. He says, just got to say, I resonate a lot with this episode and the need to have healthy and obtainable goals that you have control over, not just in magic, but life. We're all making strides and improvements, but if you are only looking at destinations, you will not be able to appreciate your current progress. Wise words.
Very wise.
Wise words from a strong player. Glad to hear from you, Colton.
Was that Colton or the Dalai Lama?
Good question. Perhaps one in the same.
Right.
Yeah. Carl. Crazy Carl.
From Good old Binghamton. Carl.
Yeah. The Impulse Crew. I definitely need to remember more sustenance things. This is, taking care of yourself. Another thing that I may consider adding to my arsenal is body wipes to clean like my face and arms and just feel refreshed after a few rounds. Thanks for the great episodes, y'all.
That does sound refreshing.
That does sound like I get a bit stinky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sweat.
Yeah, I sweat. Like, because if I'm such a sweaty player, like, what else would I be?
Right.
Yeah. So just like being real about like taking care of yourself.
Maybe bring the butt wipes too.
Maybe bring the butt wipes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pamper yourself.
I don't usually bring those because I plan on wiping my butt with my opponent's win-loss record. but yeah. Yeah. Wise words, Carl. Yeah. Hygiene is everybody's prerogative. Cool. All right, now to our most recent episode, episode 13.
Wow, we got a lot of comments. This is cool. We
did, yeah. More Rob Fusco. Intro is hard. You picked that intro.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. Yeah.
Good taste. All right, yes. Another comment from Colton. Another great episode. Goblins is always seen as a joke or the underdog. I'm glad in pre-modern that they have shown time and time again how excellent the goobers are. Yeah. Ian said, you don't need to be a clever boy. You can just turn lackey sideways.
Right.
Like sometimes like you can get that equity. And Carl says, great episode, dudes. Excellent event as well. Thanks for all you guys are doing. You showed up. Carl showed up from Binghamton with a whole gang.
Yeah. Him, Chris.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Carl top aided on Feb.
Yeah. That was awesome to see.
Absolute fucking mind melter deck.
Yep.
So excellent words from an excellent player. An excellent event. Thanks for showing up, man. Cool. And such are listener comments.
Beautiful.
We don't have a voicemail. Our last voicemail was from Javi Lugo.
Yep.
But you, dear listener, can leave us a voicemail. Talk shit. Correct us. Leave comments. We'll publish all of it. We do not care. Yep.
All right. Shall we move on?
We shall.
All right. So we were going to do a Studio Ghibli draft, top five favorite Studio Ghibli movies. This is in light of us going to see Princess Mononoke this week in IMAX 4K, all touched up and beautiful and big in your face.
Yeah, so Studio Ghibli has a recurring thing where they will do re-releases, and you can see some of their publications in theater. I personally love like re-releases.
Like they're really fun to go see.
The Brattle Theater in Cambridge does re-releases. So I've seen Lawrence of Arabia.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Bechdel test?
No.
The Bechdel test is a The Bechdel test is an...
Backdoor test? You want to test my backdoor?
Well, that joke's going to... all right. So the Bechdel test is a... it's sort of like a journalistic assessment of representation in media. And you assess... The Bechdel test is, are there two women in this film who have a conversation that is not about a man?
Yeah.
So there are some...
Okay, this is so funny.
Yeah. So, is there like a woman main character who ever does anything in a film that does not concern a man?
Yeah.
It's like, are women people with their own like motivating factors and their own like depth of character? And like, this is like not shown in Western cinema to like anywhere near a satisfactory like level. For example, the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I was going to say this, yeah.
Does not satisfy.
There's one instance of a female talking to another female, and it's a child that goes, "Mommy, I'm scared."
Yeah.
And like, that's it.
Yeah, it's pretty damning.
Yeah.
But Lawrence of Arabia, not only does it not fail, does it have two women speaking, not about a man, it does not have a woman speaking at all.
Oh my god.
It's just like, it's like a very dated movie.
Yeah.
Although it's beautiful and Peter O'Toole is a wonderful actor. That's just, that one does not age well. I've seen Seven Samurai, which was a re-release.
Oh, I was gonna say real quick that I've had a couple old ladies liken me to Omar Sharif when I have a mustache, who is an actor from that movie.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He is is he the young prince?
He is Sheriff Ali in it, who I believe is the young prince.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Anyways, that was a funny factoid.
My favorite character from that movie is the guy who, no prisoners. That guy?
I don't even remember anymore.
When Lawrence's Lawrence and the Faisal gang happen across a Turkish army that is like trekking the desert, they're all mad because they just had like some village get like shredded or something. And this dude whose village is from that village that got raised was like, all right, like, this is my destiny. And he goes, no prisoner. And Lawrence is like, I don't know. Like, we got to get to Damascus. And like, that's our like military objective right now. And this guy's like, no, we're going to fucking shred this column of troops. Like, no prisoners.
Yeah.
It's just a super hard scene. Hell yeah. Let me think. I saw Seven Samurai as a re-release, and I've seen like a few random here and there. But yeah, Studio Ghibli does re-releases, and this is part of a regular thing that they do. Some of these films are like coming up on 35 years old now.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the crew is going to see Princess Mononoke this week in IMAX. And we're going to talk about some Ghibli stuff.
Yeah. Well, so my idea was to do a top five Studio Ghibli draft because there's about 12 to 13 movies that Miyazaki has been involved with in Studio Ghibli. And they're pretty much all amazing. If people are not familiar with Studio Ghibli or Hayao Miyazaki, I would go ahead and do yourself the courtesy of enjoying these movies for the first time because they're wonderful. I liken them to... pretty much on the same level as Pixar or Disney films,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like Toy Story,
yeah.
Just movies that you can sit down, you can be any age,
yep.
You can be with the family, like everybody's going to enjoy these movies.
Yeah.
They're so good.
They're not kids movies like the Emoji Movie or whatever. It's like, these are like extremely high production. There's like character depth, but there's also whimsy and fantasy and joy.
Yep. And a lot of meaning too, you know. It's a lot of humans are bad, the nature is beautiful.
Sure.
Stop destroying the planet type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's been doing these forever and they're just so good. And drafting would have been fun. Ben unfortunately couldn't make it and Billy here has only seen a handful of them.
Yep.
But sounds like you got some homework to do as well.
Yeah. So Brad, do you own a kimono?
No.
Do you own a katana that you bought at the mall?
I wish.
You wish?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I ask is because, like, you don't have to be a weeb to enjoy this.
Not at all.
Like, no, I haven't seen Ranma 1.5 or, like...
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah, I, like, watched a little bit of Berserk, and then when it got to the boobs episode, I was like, this is, like, off the rails. Like,
this is too inappropriate.
No, it was just, like, it got too weird.
Yeah.
It got, like, dream sequency.
But, yeah, I almost don't even consider them to be animes in a way, because they are just on another level. Like,
yeah.
They're just so good.
The production value is incredible. So, let me think. I saw Princess Mononoke, like, probably 10 years ago. Just on my laptop screen, it was good, but this has been like remastered and it's probably a different cut, blah blah blah. Spirited Away is an absolutely incredible film.
Yep, that was the first one that really brought him into the limelight of Americans, like knowing about Miyazaki, knowing about Ghibli and everything. Like, I watched that with like my friend's family, and it was like he like swept the awards that year with it, won everything.
Yep,
huge deal. Amazing film.
Yeah. The emergence from like weeb space. Yeah.
Yep.
Who's your favorite critter or character from Spirited Away?
Well, my favorite movie is Howl's Moving Castle.
Well, I'm from Spirited Away.
Oh, from Spirited Away.
Yeah.
What's the Shuko? Is that his name?
Who's that?
The kid that turns into the dragon. The dragon is really cool.
The dragon's cool. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the soot sprites.
Those are so cute.
They skitter around being little dust balls,
right?
In the boiler room.
Yeah, they're akin to the little forest spirits in Spirited Away. Mononoke.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let me think. I've seen. Yeah, I just saw The Cat Returns. Probably 6 months ago.
Yeah,
it was really funny. I brought my girlfriend to it, and I didn't tell her. I was like, hey, like, do you trust me? Do you want to go see this movie? And it was just like a big mystery. She's like, oh, okay, cool, we're seeing like an anime re-release, like, sweet. And then like, all right, cool, like, young woman in her like high school, like, blah blah blah, she plays lacrosse. And then all of a sudden the cat starts talking. Like, okay, like we're going on a wild ride.
Yeah.
Very fun. Yeah. And I like whatever his name is, Baron von Boomhausen,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Good times, man.
What's the other movie that you've seen? I think you said you saw 4.
Mononoke, Howl's Moving Castle, Cat Returns, and Spirited Away.
Okay,
I think the ones I've seen.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish we were drafting, because there's just so many like deeper cuts that like people don't know about super well.
What are the other famous ones?
The other famous ones, I mean, The Wind Rises was 2013, and that was in theaters when it came out, and like, you know, I saw an article about it on the front page of like the local newspaper when it was coming out. So that one was relatively big. The Boy and the Heron just came out this past year. It was like really cool. Had some really incredible scenes in it that were like, the animation was a little bit different than what he's usually done. Like the opening scene, the boys running through a village on fire, and it just like looks so amazing. And I'm really excited to watch that one again. Nausicaa was his first film.
Never even heard of it.
Nausicaa and the Valley of the Winds.
Nope.
Before Studio Ghibli was even a thing. That one most people know. Kiki's Delivery Service.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. That's just like an adorable, lighthearted, like,
I think I saw it but like 15 years ago, like maybe. Yeah.
Yep, that's an awesome one. Castle in the Sky is an earlier one that a lot of people would be familiar with. Porco Rosso is a deep cut. Not a lot of people probably know about that as much, but
Porco
that one is
Rosso,
wonderful.
What?
Yeah.
It's the Russian pig?
The Flying Pig.
The Flying Pig.
Yeah.
Okay.
The main character is a pig that like flies airplanes. And
hell yeah.
It's like so good. It's so creative.
Oh, the Red Pig. I don't know. Yeah, the Flying Pig.
Something
okay.
like that.
Cool.
Yeah. Extremely creative. Really good.
Hell yeah.
He even did a series before Studio Ghibli called Future Boy Conan. That was like a 36 episode series or something like that. And this is like 1970s or maybe early 80s.
Sure.
And is like basically like a little kid barbarian that like goes on adventures.
Amazing.
Like it's almost akin to like Dragon Ball kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
That was really cool. But yeah, Studio Ghibli's amazing. I love all the movies. Seen them many times over. Big fan. And maybe we'll do a draft on a later episode.
I'm just going to like,
not with you. You're not drafting.
Yeah, don't do it with me.
We're going to get somebody on that knows what's up.
Because I'm just going to pack one, pick one, Spirit Away, and then just be like, oh, the other three that I've seen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So sorry we couldn't bring that content to you today, but at least wanted to touch upon it because it holds a very special place in my heart. I'll say real quick a little story about Princess Mononoke. Mm. When I first saw that, I was in middle school, and I watched it with my friend before I went camping for a week. And that movie just had this profound influence on me where I watched it, and then I went away the next day camping, and then like the next night I couldn't sleep. I was just like thinking about this movie the whole time and just like taking in the nature around me the entire trip and just being like, this is so wonderful. Like it was like in my head the whole time. And it really just had this like profound influence where it just gave me this incredible appreciation of nature.
Sure.
And
and plenty of like slow time to digest it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the feudal village scenes. I think that's cool. I like the set design that they did. Yeah.
Some like really intense parts of the movie too. Like, oh, so good.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to go see this week.
Yeah.
This is going to be sick.
Too. Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Cool.
Cool.
Well, should we start wrapping it up then? I think that pretty much covers everything we want to talk about.
I think that's just about it.
Yeah. I do want to do some shout outs at the end here.
Hit us.
All right, let's go. So the first thing that I want to put on people's radar is starting to think about donations for LobsterCon. Because every year, if you have not been to LobsterCon, there is a charity raffle that is 100% donations from the community, usually raises around $5,000, maybe more, and is a really big aspect of the tournament. You know, the whole thing is obviously a charitable event, and this is one of the big ways that we recuperate a lot of the cost to give to charity is by running this cash-only raffle, and all the items that go up are all from the community, and like really awesome stuff has gone up in the past. Really, really cool. Like last year, Foil Peel Force of Wills and brainstorms. And people have donated books and magazines and play mats and signed cards and altered cards and just all these awesome things. And it really is one of the special things about LobsterCon. So this is our initial blast, putting it out there to start thinking about if you would like to donate and help out the tournament, help us out, help out the community, and just give something cool that can be raffled off.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be given another Shadow Sign playset of foil dresses. That's my plan. And we'll see what else gets donated, but it's always...
I'm going to give anything. I've been like giving all my stuff away to the local one.
Right. Yeah. But so that's something that I wanted to put on people's radar. Just start thinking about that. And please do donate if you have anything cool that you think people would want to bid on. The next thing that I'll shout out is March 25th, 2 days from now, 2 days before this comes out, the Epic is returning. That is a streaming event via WalkWalk on Twitch. I think it's been like 4 years or something since the last one happened. And it is just, it's basically like the PSS, but European. Mm-hmm. And it is just an awesome thing to watch. Like WalkWalk is pretty much my favorite streamer, streaming community. Gordon Anderson is amazing, puts out insanely high quality content, always has cool interactive features when you're watching on Twitch. And Epic definitely for me is like really nostalgic because it's one of the first pieces of pre-modern media that I digested when I first got into the format.
Yeah.
I like read an article on the main website, and then I started looking for content on YouTube, and I found this like entire series that happened, and it's like commentated and it's live streamed, and you know, people bring three decks, one gets banned, mm-hmm. and then they duke it out.
Oh yeah.
And it's just it's so cool, it's awesome. There's a lot of people that have been putting a lot of hard work into this. Obviously Anton is involved, Slay J is involved, I know Simply from Discord is involved, whose name I don't actually know.
I don't remember,
he's big in the Terravor Discord.
Yeah, he's cool, though.
And just a ton of other awesome people, like really famous and prestigious players from Europe are going to be involved in this. So it's going to be a banger, and you are absolutely going to be wanting to check that out every week. So super stoked for that. I love being able to throw Twitch on my big screen TV in the living room and just like hang out on my laptop and like watch that all night.
Yeah. It's fun. Putting Twitch on a TV is like quite pleasant. And you can like whip out your phone and be like, oh, I commented. There it is. Cool.
Right. Yeah. The next thing on the docket is the Big Apple Highlander webcam registration is open. I have not played Big Apple Highlander, but the format looks awesome. It is 60 card singleton with sideboard. And nothing is banned, just fully, as far as I know, something like that. Like, it's just, like, fully open, restricted. Yeah. It's, like, pre-modern vintage. Looks super cool. So definitely check that out if it's something that you're interested in. And I'm sure that Phil Nguyen will be, you know, keeping everybody posted on what's been what people have been playing, what's been winning, all that type of stuff.
I think Yawgmoth's Will is going to be the first thing on the ban list.
Yeah.
That's the what... Yeah, I don't follow the format, but from the rumblings I've heard, it turns out Yawgmoth's Will is just fucked.
And yeah.
Within the context of that format, people aren't like effectively able to defend against it. You only got one Force of Will.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And then also I want to highlight that the Sacred Torch Showdown is happening July 19th in Manhattan. I think that this is like New York's yearly event.
I don't know, but it's a 2K?
Yes, it's a 2K. It's capped at 50 people. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it's likely to sell out, so if you're interested, you should definitely be getting your spot reserved right now. I personally am very interested in trying to make it out to this one. The winner receives a plaque with their deck list in it, like the way that they used to do gold border deck lists.
Yeah.
So you get a sick plaque if you win it, $2,000 in cash prizing, and just sure to be an absolute banger. As we now know, New York are gracious hosts, good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My name is on a magic plaque.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There was like a charity tournament at a Navy base that I was stationed at. So this was, I was like a nuclear power operator technician person on a submarine. If you've ever heard of Navy nukes, they're all fucking nerds. The Best Buy that is next to the base is the highest revenue Best Buy in the world because all these dudes graduate from boot camp and then they go to the Navy nuclear training program. And then they have, you know, $4,000 in their pocket that they saved up from boot camp, and they all buy like gaming laptops and like huge screen TVs or whatever. Yeah. And it was a single elimination legacy tournament. And I was like, I'm going to fuck on everybody here. And I played Natural Order Show and Tell.
Just so sick. No with show.
Emrakul and Progenitus. And like people were like, oh, I was so close to beating you. No, you fucking weren't. Like, what were you going to do? You were going to tap out. I had 2 Force of Wills in my hand. And they're like, what's Force of Will? Yeah, I just annihilated everybody. Yeah. It was like beating small children with a baseball bat. It was just an absolute joke. And now my name is on a plaque in a Navy base.
Very cool.
For winning.
Maybe we'll go take a picture with it one day.
I don't think you're allowed.
All right.
So you can't even get on base. I've been trying to get a picture of it, but I don't know. Like, phones aren't allowed anywhere where the plaque is posted.
All right. So, yeah. Well, it lives in infamy.
It lives in infamy.
In a dark corner somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, Sacred Short Torch Showdown, July 19th. I believe it's $50 buy-in. Get your tickets now because it's sure to sell out and it's sure to be a heated, awesome tournament. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Strong players there. And if you're not a strong player, nice players there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Civilized, a little fun for everybody.
Yeah. Civilized group of gentlemen.
A little something everybody could enjoy.
Yep.
Cool. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up. We will be doing, you know, obviously we're going to stick to our schedule of bi-weekly coming up for LobsterCon. So expect some LobsterCon hype episodes and whatever else we got on the docket. We'll, you know, be having the crew come in and doing some fun shit and getting everybody excited for what is going to be the biggest, greatest pre-modern tournament of all time.
It always is.
Yep.
Always was.
Weekend of the year right here.
And always shall be.
Yes.
This is Billy Mouse Kern, our hardcast.
And Bradley Stone.
Good night, folks.
Bye.